The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Ireland's savings specialists. Rabodirect, the straight-talking savings bank. The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Ireland's savings specialists. Rabodirect, the straight-talking savings bank.
Welcome back to the programme. Now, Marion, a caller, says, not everyone is impressed with the proclamation. Some of us will be remembering John Redmond this year, and that's from Frank in Dublin. I suppose the bit that we all remember, which is cherishing all the children of the nation equally, which is a fine aspiration, but point taken. Now, with reference to what we were talking about at the very beginning of the programme, a couple of callers said, I think it's outrageous that women's rights are placed second to political considerations in Germany. And that came from Audrey. Another one said, PC gone mad, a culture divide which has to be challenged and not tolerated, says Ina. And another caller said, women's rights are not a bargaining chip in the integration stakes. And I suppose these are matters that we just have to address in hopefully in the proper way and in a sane way, because we'll have to do it in Ireland and they'll have to do it in Germany. But it's kind of vaguely apropos of what we're going to talk about now. Because my next guest is a professor. She's Professor Ita Richardson, and she teaches computer systems in UL. And this week, UL received an award for gender equality. Can you explain the background of all that to me, Ita?
Well, thank you, Marion, for having me on
the
programme.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Ourselves and Trinity College Dublin both received the Athena Swan Award. And I like to describe it to people as the blue flag for gender equality. So it's saying that we're doing something about gender equality within the universities. And we're hoping to do it across the whole higher education spectrum in Ireland.
Like what and why also?
Okay, so like what? So we have, within our universities, we've done a self-assessment of what's not right within the university. And if we look at our, what we call pipelines, so if we look at our lecturers below the bar, right through the spectrum up to senior, we find that there's a drop-off of people, of women, at the level, so at the lower levels in the University of Limerick, at lecturer below the bar, we have 60% female. If you go up to associate professor, it's at 19%. Now, our professor figures are very high. They're 31%, which is much higher than the national average. But there's a real leaky pipeline there from lecturer below the bar through to associate professor. So how do we get the women there to get rid of that leaky pipeline? So we've put some recommendations in place. So the kinds of things that we've done, we've put three initiatives immediately in place. One is that there's 30% requirement, a requirement for 30% gender balance on every interview committee now in the University of Limerick.
They have to be 30% male.
They are 30% female.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we've put that quota in place.
Why?
Because it is recognised in sociological research that if you do not have diversity on interview boards, you will not have a diverse population coming through. And it's been shown that where you've got boards with seven or eight men and maybe one woman, the token woman on the board, the chances are that a man, rather than the best candidate, if she is a woman, will be appointed.
Why? Is that unconscious?
It's called unconscious bias, yeah. And that brings me to the second action that we've put in place, is that every internal person on an interview board has to have completed unconscious bias training. And that has been brought in the last few months in the university. So if somebody's going to sit on a board, they have to go through it. So take, for example, if I say to you, describe a pilot, you know, the initial reaction of most people is man, grey hair, carrying a briefcase. So if you're in an interview board and you're interviewing for a pilot, that's what you have in your head without even realizing it. And a woman walks in and they have to break that barrier. So what we're trying to do is break that barrier of bias within people before they actually sit behind
And do they?
Do they?
Like, I'm just trying to think of how, because somebody's going to say, I'm not biased. I respect all comers. So how do you get to that point?
That's why we call it unconscious. And there's many exercises. If you go onto the web and look up, you know, unconscious bias, you can actually do a quick questionnaire that actually questions you as an individual as to what do you think. So that pilot example would be taken from one of those types of things.
Right.
And, you know, those things, if you do that, you will, many, many people will find that they're biased. Even people like me who are very into gender equality, when I sit down to do something like that, I sometimes shock myself that I have to stop and think before I actually make the decision right. as to what's there.
Yeah.
So it's quite
because
amazing.
Because what you're doing is you're trying to change culture. I mean, I was talking about culture in with the men and their attitude to those women in Cologne. And I mean, it was appalling the things they felt that they could do with impunity. But they probably don't see that in the same way as we do.
Yes, no, and that's very true. And that's part of where I come from on the gender equality issue. So we're involved in the University of Limerick. We're involved in a Horizon 2020 European project. Well, it's FP7, sorry, Framework 7,
yeah.
where we received funding from the university, from the European Union, with six other universities around Europe to actually look at whether the organisations, so change at an organisational level for gender. So rather than in the past, we would often say that the women have to change. So I have to train to how to perform at a meeting so I can be involved in the meeting rather than having to continually ask someone, say, can I get in on this point? So that's the way things were looked at in the past. Now we've shifted a bit and we're saying really the organisations have to look at themselves. We have to look at organisational change. So doing things like gender audits. So what's the pay scale? What are the pay gaps within the organisation? Why aren't women applying for senior management positions? Why are there more men applying for promotions than there are women applying for promotions?
Is that because women still take, you know, kids and domestic life as a very big part of their lives?
That could be part of it. But what we're actually saying is that the organisation has to allow for those types of things. So another initiative that we've brought in the University of Limerick is what we call a returners policy. So for us as academics, we have three parts to our jobs: administration, lecturing and research.
Yeah.
And if you take a break in your career, be that for maternity leave or carer's leave, so this does allow for men as well, it's long-term leave, or medium term, I suppose, leave.
Yeah.
If we actually take that break, it is very easy to get back into your administration duties and your lecturing duties, each of which are very important. But it is very difficult to get back into research because of the nature of having to apply for funding, to take on students and to actually get back into the stream. And that's recognised that that's difficult. So what we've done in the University of Limerick to help support the women, you know, and others, but women coming back from maternity
yeah.
is that when they come back, we have a fund now in place where they can get 20 weeks worth of leave to actually focus on their research.
Oh, fantastic.
So that gives them the kickstart into research and then brings them on so they can get back into their lecturing administration, but just gives that cushion, which really we see is very, very important.
Right.
So even though we have women going on maternity leave and, you know, the children and those difficulties, we also now are saying there are things that can be done about it. And that's what I mean about the organisation
right.
changing.
Did you once not get a job because you were going on maternity leave?
That's always a query in my head, Marion. So I suppose that's the first time, and I was 27 years of age at the time, that I realised, even though I had been in a world very much male dominated, that that could actually affect my career. Being a woman could affect me. And what happened was I was working as a senior analyst, a systems analyst in a manufacturing company in Limerick, and going for a supervision position. And I had been called for interview, but I had coffee one day with the manager, a male who owned the job, was told by him that he needed someone to start in the next few weeks. At which time I was going on leave. So, of course, straight away it was, there's something wrong here. So I went to the HR department and we discussed it. And obviously he shouldn't have said it. So then we had a further discussion, which basically said, well, you know, OK, if you get the job, you get it. But to this day, I didn't get the job. But to this day, I don't know, did I not get it because I was going on leave? And my other worry was that if I did get it, I wouldn't know whether I got it because I was entitled to it.
Right.
So straight away, I was put into a position which I always feel should never have happened. And I know happens lots of women around the country at the moment.
Yeah, because there are things that you're just not supposed to raise at interviews.
But this was pre-interview. This was coffee pre-interview, yes. And this was, you know, 27 years ago now, nearly. But
Tell me about you and nude photos of men.
Oh, that's one that came up in the talk yesterday. So again, in that manufacturing plant, you know, and would have happened very commonly 20 years ago around the country, you know, photographs would come back from Greece or from Italy and be, in our case, put up around the computer room. So I would be in the computer room with all these photographs of male or of naked women in front of me. So a few of us, you know, we would ask and say, you know, this isn't right, get nowhere. So eventually we decided we'd do a bit of a kickback. So the kickback was that we would do the opposite and pick up a few pictures. So one day, one man from another office was in at my desk and he's quite horrified at this photograph and I'm quite horrified at it. Now, I wasn't naked, I have to say, sorry. My mother is listening. So. But anyway, he reacted to it and I said, well, you have a harp calendar over your desk. And he couldn't see the parallel. But what actually ended up finishing up was that the general manager stopped all pictures. But again, what bothered me was that I had to change my way and my means because I would never do anything like that. But I had to change to force the issue. And I think that's what often bothers me.
Right.
About when women are fighting for change, that you have women who just want to go in, do their
jobs
to the best of their ability, and yet to actually work in a good, interesting environment that's clean and healthy for them, they have to push a bound, which they would never do normally.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you did quite a bit in the sense that you were the only girl in your school that did honours maths and you have risen through the world in computers and all of that and computer systems. Still very much a male world.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we've if we think about the figures that are there at the moment, like we're talking about in our computer systems degree, less than 10% of the current set of students are women, which is really quite worrying, and quite worrying for many reasons, not least the economic reason of the number of IT, so information technology, computing jobs that are going to be available in Ireland in the next 3 years. They expect there to be over 95,000 jobs, about 40,000 new jobs in information and communication technology in Ireland. And we can't fill them.
And why don't the at second and indeed at third level, what is it about it that women don't do it?
Well, there seems to be lots of reasons. And within LIRO, which is the Software Engineering Research Centre where I work, we have an outreach and equality manager, Claire McInerney. So I spoke to Claire about this, you know, just to get clarification. And there's a number of things that are coming up. First of all, there's the idea that, you know, a lot of the engineering computing is not social, that there's no social side to it. And I was talking to Dermot outside before he came on. And, you know, if Dermot, and he does, he had a tablet in his hand, and if he's trying to develop a garden and landscaping and that, he's using computer programs. Now, someone had to design that. But to design that, they had to talk to someone like Dermot to find out what he wanted.
Yeah.
So that's really, really important that you're actually interacting with people to find out about the whole design side, to design the system. And of course, there is the part where you're sitting doing the programming. But earlier this week as well, I was talking to another colleague, Gráinne Barry, who has a company. And her comment was that, and she's the chief technical officer of the company, that the programming is such a small part that if they don't get the requirements right and the design right, so what does the user want? How did they do the design? How did they do the testing? Then their system is no good. So there's a huge social side to science engineering that just isn't seen by girls and isn't seen visibly probably on television, in newspapers, in magazines. It's not seen as social. It's seen as loner. And that is not the case. So that's one thing.
Right.
A second thing
maths,
is that
I suppose.
Maths is, and there's quite a bit of discouragement for maths, which still bothers me. I know myself, I was discouraged way back then. But I talked to one of our PhD students yesterday, and she said that within the last 10 years in her girls' school, that she was discouraged from doing honours maths. So even still, it's going on. And we need to be encouraging the women to stay with maths and to go with maths. And like science and engineering is just so exciting. Another thing is what we see is the boys tend to come in and just go straight at it. And the girls seem to stand back and worry then that they can't get in there and just do. Whereas the girls are, and I would absolutely say the right way to go about it, read the instructions, see what you're supposed to do, and then get in and start your programming. Yeah, yeah. So that seems to be causing that frightening pattern.
Yeah.
But there's just so many opportunities. Female role models as well as another one. You know, so I very much try to encourage younger women, go out and talk to the schools, talk to your friends, you know, the ones that are working with us, to actually get out there and to do that.
And just, I mean, I know that you're not involved in politics, but you know the rows that are gone on at the moment about the 30%.
Yes.
Are you in favour of positive discrimination?
No, not positive discrimination. Okay, so I would consider that there's two things we have to think about very seriously, our quotas and targets.
Right.
So I mentioned already about the quota for our interview panels.
Yes.
Right, so absolutely, I believe that is the right and correct thing to do, because when we did not do that, then the women were not brought onto the panel and it's affecting women's careers.
Okay.
But from a target point of view, if we want to try to up targets for the number of women applying for jobs or that, then we take affirmative action. So maybe gender auditing our adverts, making sure the language is right, you know, giving encouragement, that kind of thing.
Okay, well, listen, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Very interesting indeed.
Okay.
And that was Professor Ita Richardson. And we are now going to take a pause for the Angelus.